Okay, so we're continuing a series this morning on what can I bring? And this morning we're looking at our holdings. That's our money, our possessions. So in 2026, that means what we earn, what we inherit, our houses, our cars, our savings, all the things that we have accumulated over time. And just before I start, I want to be really clear. I am not here this morning to lecture anybody about what you do or don't give. That's between you and the Lord. Nor am I going to try to make you feel guilty. What I am going to do is help us take a look at what the Bible says about giving, and especially look at what is giving of material things in the overall path of being a disciple of Jesus. So we're going to start with this reading from 2 Corinthians 9, which says this. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he's giving them some encouragement and some positive feedback. He says to them, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." This service, by the way, the service is giving generously. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service, again, giving generously, by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing them and with everyone else. Okay. I was trying to think this week, what is giving for us as those who follow the Lord? If we could go on a slide, please, Hannah. Thank you. Is giving a duty or an honour? Do we give to God because we're told that we must? Or do we give to God because it is an honour that the things that we have given to us by God are things that we can give back to be used for his glory? And I wanted to talk about three points this morning to start with. First of all, this passage from Corinthians tells us that giving in itself is an act of worship. We worship in so many different ways. We raise our hands, we stand and sing, we pray, we praise. There are lots of different ways that we worship God. But giving is an act of worship. In the same way as we give our time, our energy, our love to God, we're called to give our money and our possessions to God as well. Giving is a way of serving. How might I help God's church accomplish what it needs to in this world? How might I make sure that those who leave other professions and come and serve God full time have homes and food and warmth and all that they need? Giving is also sharing God's blessing with others who need our help. And the Bible is just full of verse after verse after verse where God is very clear that we are responsible, that it should be our honour and privilege to give to those who need, who are in need, to care for those who are in trouble. So I said I wasn't here to make you feel guilty, and I want to be very clear about that, but I do want you to think about this, as I've been challenged in thinking about this week. Does my giving back to God reflect my gratitude, my heart for God? If we can move on a slide, please, Hannah. Thank you. This is a beautiful picture of the widow in the temple giving her two little mites to the temple offering. I don't know if you know this story. Actually, it was just an observation by Jesus. It's from Luke 21, and it says this. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." I was quite interested to know whether these little coins were called mites, and they weren't. They were called lepta. Okay, a single one was a lepton, And more than one was called lepta. Okay, they're tiny coins. If anybody remembers the old half penny piece, little halfpence, yeah? Then you're probably as old as me. No, I don't remember any, no farthings, no, none of that. Just a half pence is where I'm at. Little tiny coins made of copper, and they were minted in the 100 years before Jesus was born. Okay, that's when lepta came into their own. Made of copper, no picture of the emperor, no profile picture of somebody great and worthy, just maybe tiny little symbols like a star or an anchor or an ear of barley. So you'd use a lepton to buy a loaf of bread, a little bit of olive oil. You'd use it to buy your absolute basics every day. By the way, you can buy one if you'd like to today. You can buy a lepton from an antique coin dealer. It'd probably cost you between £30 or £40 to buy one now. There are still apparently quite a lot in circulation. But what does this observation that Jesus makes about the widow at the temple have to do with us today? Well, I've read several commentaries on this passage, and there seems to be absolute agreement that this is nothing to do with the amount that anyone gave, the rich people or the widow. Instead, Jesus is looking at two things. He's seeing her intent as she comes and the intent of the rich. And she's seeing her sacrifice and maybe the lack of sacrifice on behalf of the wealthy. So the widow comes to the temple, giving her tiny gift, these two little lepta in her hand, because she wants to show God what's in her heart. She gives God the money she had to live on because she believed with all her heart that God would provide for her. She doesn't give from what she has spare. She doesn't give to show off to other people. Look at me. Look how much I'm giving. She gives to God intentionally and sacrificially. Well, a few years ago, when we were starting to think about having a new church leader for our church, we had a gift day here. I have no idea who gave what. It's absolutely none of my business. But listening to the total giving that Steve shared with us at the time, it was clear that some people in this room gave sacrificially to that call that we would have enough money to be able to pay a church leader for some time. And I'm not here to call you to that today. But I am conscious that, and I don't know who they are, I genuinely don't, that some people in this room gave up on other things they might have really wanted to do with that money because they wanted to respond to the needs of the church. So the widow gives from her heart, whereas those around her give from their egos. Maybe something for us to think about. It always makes me laugh that in the United States, when people give a big sum of money, they normally do so because their name's going to go on it. So I could give, I don't know, $500,000, and then name a hospital wing after me, the Rachel E.M. Stone Oncology Unit, for example. That might be what I might want to do. I might give to an extension to the church here at Hebron. Again, my $500,000 goes to the church. And when that new bit of the church is made, it's called the Rachel E.M. Stone Hall, Hebron Hall. Okay. That's me giving for my ego. It's not me giving from my heart. So how am I meant to give back to God? What does the Bible say about this? Let's go on again, Hannah. Okay. Well, look, forgive me if you know all this already. Just think about what you're doing after lunch if you need to. But for those who've never had any teaching on giving and who've never had the chance to study what the Bible has to say about giving, I just thought I'd set this out for you today. Okay, so this isn't my view. This is what the Bible says. If you would like to look in more detail at what the Bible says about what we do with our money, these are 9 pages, here I'm holding in my hand, of verses in the Bible that talk about what we do with our money and our attitude of heart as we do that. So if you'd like that, because you'd like to study it a little bit, maybe you've not looked at it before, let me know and I'll email it to you. Okay. So first of all, we're supposed to give regularly. The Bible's quite clear about that. Back in Leviticus, I don't spend a lot of time in Leviticus if I'm honest, but in Leviticus 27, it talks about giving tithes and offerings. And by the way, they're different. So a tithe is where you decide from your heart that you are going to give a regular gift taken out of the first fruits of what you earn or have, and you're going to give it to God. In the Old Testament, it talks about a tithe of 10% of your income, of what you earn. And many people today would still tithe at 10%. But a tithe is a regular gift to God, whatever it is that you give to God. You give it to God first because everything came from him in the first place. So something to think about when you look at your budget and how you manage your money, does God come first? And how would we tell that? Secondly, through offerings, we all have times we just feel incredibly grateful, don't we? If you can think of a time in your life when you're just like, Father God, I can't believe what you've just done for me. And so in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the people of God came to give extra offerings to God. Lord, you have blessed me so incredibly. I just want to make this extra gift to you. Secondly, the Bible talks a lot about giving because of the way I feel in my heart about the goodness of God. Do you know, I think back to when William was little, when he was 3 or 4, and he was very cute and I could still lift him up. I don't even try it these days. But there were times I would just go and grab him and hug him, and he would say, Mummy, what are you doing? And I would say, I'm giving you a great big hug. And he would say, what for? And I said, just because I love you. Many of us have done that with our children, just because I love you. There are times when we give gifts back to God just because we love him. Not to serve anybody else's needs necessarily, but just a way to say, God, all of this comes from you. So I just want to give something back. I don't have to, but I just want to. And finally, the Bible tells us that we are to be people who are alms givers, A-L-M-S. So we are instructed in Scripture to make sure that we can meet the needs of those who are poor and needy, those who are widowed, those who are alone, those who are struggling financially. Interestingly, that's not God saying, I'd love it if you did this. That's an instruction in the Bible. So many of you might give in those ways already, but I wanted to remind you, and I'm conscious we all come from different backgrounds, so really important just to understand what the Bible says. Perhaps you've never heard this before. If you haven't, I hope this hasn't come as a horrible shock this morning. Actually, it's just God talking to us about a way in which we love him and bless his church. Today is just designed to be a very brief introduction, but I would say if you're working hard to be a disciple of our Lord Jesus, then this is an area you need to look at seriously, alongside all the other behaviours and character traits and ways of living that Jesus talked about. So, what shall I give? Let's have a look. Do you like these great cues I'm giving Hannah at the back? She's spot on with these today. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Hannah. So what might be the principles of what I give to God? I give back from what God gives to me. None of it is mine. All of it is God's blessing to me. So I need to be less precious about it. And I've phrased all of these as I statements because I certainly don't want to look at you and say you should. I'll talk about me. I give back to allow God's church to be sustained and to flourish. The church is a place and a building which needs to be maintained. But more importantly, the church is the people of God in all their different circumstances and in our work to reach people for Jesus. I give back to meet the needs of others as God does for me, being the hands and feet of our Lord Jesus. Look at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We had that fairly recently, didn't we? Jesus takes something small and makes it into something big, but it is the disciples who do the practical work of sharing with others and feeding the crowd. I give back because I want to worship him as fully as I can and in as many ways as I can. I cannot truly worship God and say that he has no right to my money. I give back as a blessing to my own family. And I found a lovely verse and then I lost it. But basically it says, if you say you love the Lord and you don't provide for your own family, basically you need to go and look at your faith. And finally, I give back because it pleases God. I've got a final verse for us this morning. Look at that, straight on it. Brilliant. Okay. Which is a verse that many of us know really, really well. Matthew 6:21, and Jesus says this, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So giving back to God is one of the ways that we show God what is in our heart. Giving as an act of worship, giving as an act of service, and giving as a blessing for others. Let's just pray together before the youngsters rejoin us. Father God, please forgive us if we have not been as generous with you and your people and those around us as you are with us. Lord, we can never meet your standards. You are so abundantly good to us. You provide us with all that we have every day. Lord, I pray that you would unlock our hearts to think about giving as worship. I pray, Lord, that even now, today, Lord, you would just speak to us, you would challenge us, and you would encourage us. Lord, for those of us who've never given regularly before, Lord, I ask that you give them courage and bravery and an understanding that the first fruits belong to you. And Lord, for those who have given regularly for years, but maybe think that's it, Lord, I pray you'd soften all of our hearts to gifts that come out of love and gratitude, and gifts that bless those who are in so much more need than us. Lord, we want to follow you more nearly and dearly every day. And so, Lord, we pray, take these words this morning, particularly those from your word, Lord, and do something with them in us. We ask, Lord, that we would be generous and cheerful givers. In Jesus' name, amen.